CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, this is nice. Good. I like it. Very, very good.
I'm so optimistic about hip-hop, but we'll talk about that.
Ooh.
For the first time in 10, maybe 15 years.
So this is called Isis, ADHD. It's by Joyner Lucas and Logic.
Yeah, I mean, two of the kids that are resurrecting lyricism. It's one of those things where, like, they said when they had the Fees Must Fall thing that only the young people can go and demand their rights. It's like old lyrical guys that are lyrical saying that mumble rap and young people rap's garbage. They go like, oh, who cares what you think? You're an old bitch. Old man. Now young kids are coming up very lyrical, some of them sort of featuring and very much kind of in cooperation with Eminem, who's kind of draying these young Dr. Dre-ing these young kids. But like, for hope in humanity and resurrect your long dead interest in hip-hop, check out these kids: Logic, Joyner Lucas, Dax, AFRO, Afro, Lucas?
Yeah.
Dax. Yeah, and especially Logic. And Token. That was the one that was slipping my mind.
I feel so out of the loop.
And if you like lyricism, check out these kids, because they fire.
You rattle these names and nothing.
The point is that they're young.
Yeah.
And they're coming up, and the now slightly less young people that have shat all over the genre. And not only done what they wanted is not the problem, been very disrespectful about it is the problem. And lyrics fell away from hip hop, and you had hooks and beats and mumbling.
Right.
These kids and the older guys were going, this is fucking garbage, and how do you even have the right to call yourself hip hop? It's trap. Call it what you do what you want. Just, you can't come out with a banjo, a lute, and a yodeler and say it's a metal band. So you need lyrics to be rap.
Right.
And now young kids are coming up and being like, no, the old dudes are right. Plus they're way doper than you, shut the fuck up. So Eminem's kamikaze, reset the industry.
It's kind of like Gen Z's political views are way more conservative than the millennials.
Yeah, and less complainy.
And less complainy, and they're quite rough people compared to these soft, snowflakey millennials. It's just an interesting, every generation then gives birth to the opposite.
It's like a man.
And vice versa.
It worked like men having opinions on gender politics. You're kind of wrong before you start, right? No. So saying these young kids are trash, you're wrong before you start because you're old.
Right.
But now these kids who are as good or better than the previous generation and inspired by the previous generation. So yeah, kamikaze sort of reset the industry and slapped everyone at once, and they went, whoa, shit, we should probably shut the fuck up for the first time in a decade. Mm-hmm. And now these kids coming up. There's a track with Logic featuring Eminem called Homicide, and it's one of the sickest lyrical and beat-wise songs I've heard in ages. So I'll stop about hip-hop, but it's optimistic.
Well, there's a lot going on. If you wake up this morning and you're wondering what's happening in the world, let me give you a quick run through. So the U.S. have had some of their airfields in Iran, two of them, bombed. I think 14 attacks altogether, missiles from Iran. They are in Iraq, though, these air bases. They're not in America. And no, it's not World War III, so calm yourself, but it is nonetheless a retaliatory attack by Iran, because the Trump administration took out General Soleimani, who is like the most important military mind in Iran. So there's a lot of tit-for-tat expected over the next while. Trump's still sleeping, but when he does wake up, monitor his Twitter feed. You're going to have some entertainment today. And I don't mean that in some glib way, because it bothers me that people treat something like war, where people actually die, as they would a soccer match, by saying, I'm backing this side, or I'm backing that side, or yay, or these are seriously consequential things. And just because we live at a time where young men do not have to be drafted into the military and be sent off to war like they were in previous generations, doesn't mean we should treat it with any less respect. And I mean that for both sides. I mean that for anyone who has any self-respect. It's a serious thing, and I'm not going to make fun of war in any which way.
War just makes me sad, like in every capacity, in every way. It's just something you would think that our species would be. I mean, look, we are progressively getting this warring, because people don't like to see the good news.
It's
that the
way
world
safer,
that while the world is still full of shitness that needs to be addressed, it's got less of it than ever before. And I know you go into this quite often, so no need to retread, but there shouldn't be war. Any war is too much. If you have to kill or fight someone to have your point, maybe your point needs to be rethought a little bit.
But there are shitty governments. There are shitty people in the world.
There's sometimes need for it.
And by no means is Iran not deserving of some kind of
bitch slap.
Yeah, because they've ruined Syria. Syria is an absolute disaster. Lebanon's a disaster. Yemen's a disaster. There are other parts of the Middle East that are on tenterhooks every time Iran opens their mouth. They've been gunning for a fight.
North Korea, in the Persian Gulf, of that part of the world.
Yeah, but they've been gunning for
a fight. You always get these rogue states who've got a bit more muscle than the others and just want to be like a cock bully to everyone else.
Yeah, so let's see what happens. And then the matric results are out, and Angie Mocheca says it's great because the matric pass rate's gone up. But it hasn't really, if you look at how many people started at the beginning of school, and even just 2 years ago, half of the number of people who actually were in grade 10
at the time, yeah,
two years ago.
It's a way that I've never looked at it before.
Half of those people are just, and Sia asked me something now, which is, it's bothering me because I don't know the answer, and if you have any idea, it would be useful to hear from you, please. What happens to those other 500,000 people who were at school 2 years ago doing grade 10 and are not writing matric now, yeah, and have not just got their matric results because they dropped out somewhere in between? Where did they go? Where did 500,000 people go?
Yeah. So, I mean, just a quick summary for people who joined for the second half. Basically, what Gareth said is it's one thing to see how many people that wrote the papers passed the papers.
Yeah.
It's another thing to see how many people failed before they even wrote, before they didn't write the papers. How many people dropped out before even getting to write the test. So, it's not about the pass rate of the test. It's about the pass rate of people who tried to start matric.
Yeah, so I'm that worries me, and I don't know what the answer is. Like, where are these people? Like, and if you're one of them, if you're somebody who dropped out of school in the last 2 years, didn't end up writing matric, like, what are you doing?
I might be wrong, but I do know that, you know, just to be a police officer in South Africa, you needed the bare minimum of grade 10, but if you wanted to get into any other higher position within the SAPS, you needed some level of a matric. So that also doesn't fully answer where the other half of those students are. I just wonder. Or does this mean this is 500,000 more people who are just...
It's almost like saying we're not... There's not a world of springboard of opportunity that you get from having a matric. There's barriers we've put in place that you need one or you can't. Like, it's like a, I don't know how to word it, but it's like they're making it so, it's negative marking. Like, you don't get anything for passing, you get shit taken away for not.
Yeah, but that's also because we're in an economy that's shrinking, and we don't have enough jobs for people.
A thing that I noticed and thought about, I think, yesterday was that, like, people begging, and you get a little bit sometimes the expression, an unkind expression, is charity mugged, where, like, you can't get away from someone wanting. Like, what I've noticed is that happens everywhere in the world. Obviously, us being a poorer country, you get more of it. What I've noticed is overseas, it's clearly drug-addicted people, clearly... damaged people.
And people
we get
mental
it from
illness,
people who are just, they have no other option.
Well, it's funny, my mom has a friend. Now, this is a lady in her 60s. She went to the shops, and she was in the shop, and she was buying, like, a little basket of groceries. And a dude came up to her, you know, a young guy, and said, "Can you please help me in the shop? Won't you, can you help me in any way?" So she said, "Yeah, sure, I'll buy you a loaf of bread or whatever." And he's like, "No, you must pay for this basket of mine."
Oh.
So she said, I can't do that. I can't afford to." And then at that point, the manager of the store obviously had seen what was going on and came over and said, "Is everything all right?" And she went and paid for her stuff. And on the way out, he stopped her again and said to her, "You said you'd pay for this." And, like, she was being harassed by this dude.
Yeah, it's like a sales technique that an old,
and she said, "No, I can't help you."
An old boss of mine used to use, like where it's like, "We want to talk to you about taking a position here. Like, will you talk to us?" And you eventually, like, "No, I don't want the job, but okay, I'll talk to you." And then you arrive, and then they're like, "So glad you've decided to take the job." They kind of make you feel like you have to awkwardly apologize for them not understanding. Like, "Oh, no, like, I didn't say I'd take it. I said I'd come discuss it with you." And you're now in a position where, like, you're being told what you've agreed to.
So I think we are, there's something very, very ugly about what's going on. And obviously there are a lot of desperate people, but we just don't have enough people who are useful. This is a sad reality. And I know that there are people politically who find this very indigestible. But the fact is, we have a ton of people in this country who are not able. There's hardware damage. There's not just education is software, remember. Education is, you know, upload this program and it can make you speak, read, add, subtract, all those kinds of things a little bit better. That's software. The hardware is damaged for some of these people. There's some of these kids who are just so broken.
Malnutrition.
Yeah.
Bad
parenting.
Parents who are on things or alcohol or whatever, or themselves have malnutrition while the pregnancies are happening. It's just poverty is like so pervasive, and it's a drip feed effect. It's not just the person who's poor and suffering. It like filters through generations, and it's heartbreaking, actually.
Well, Gareth, it brings me to just a number that has caught my eye with the whole matric results and whatnot. So just as an overview, in total, class of 2019, there were 616,000 odd full-time learners. There were 170,000 odd part-time learners. And then there were more than 2,500 learners with special needs. Those are the people who took part in the school year in 2019.
Right.
Now, we speak all about that, and that's what has been hyped up. And more so, the number, as you mentioned earlier, was 81.3%. That's what you'll hear a lot of, mm-hmm. Being the matric pass rate in government schools. But of that 81.3%, only 44% have received a bachelor's degree pass.
Which means that 60% of those people, roughly, won't even be able to get into university.
They don't qualify to get into university. Getting into university, I know, then is a whole other different conversation. But only 44% of the people who pass matric qualify to get into university.
Jeez. So again, we have a lot of people who are being left behind. Mm. What are these people going to do? To get back to my point about broken hardware, these are not people who are able to make they can't make a contribution to the economy. They don't,
or their own well-being.
They're not necessarily, they're not even, you know, in the US military, there is a threshold for IQ that they will not take you. And the military takes...
I stand to be corrected, but I think it's 90 or 100.
It's a little, it's somewhere like 83. Thereabouts. So the fact is, if you have an IQ of lower than 83, and IQ is not 100% accurate, but
it's not the only measure of intelligence.
It's the best measure we've got, unfortunately. Sure. So sure. If you have an IQ below 83, you actually are...
can be a liability.
You add problems rather than help with solutions. Now, listen, the military needs... warm bodies.
Yeah. Fit, able, warm bodies.
You know, the military is one of those...
O's to carry shit and die.
Right. And they're not picky. They'll take just about anybody.
And they'll whip almost anybody into shape.
They can make a soldier out of almost anyone. Yeah. Now, if they say that below 83...
Or heart arrhythmia, or, you know, congenital defect, or sure. Blindness...
I mean, they won't take you for those reasons, because obviously then, you know, you're not just untrainable, but you could actually put other soldiers in danger. Yeah. Like you add problems, not solutions.
And risks.
Right. So we've got to find a way of measuring in South Africa what the number of people is that absolutely are not helpful to the economy, that actually add problems. Because... I do think that number is going to frighten us, and I do think that we need to find a way of giving these people a life.
So you're saying people, you know, whose contribution is zero or less?
Correct.
And a way to help them and not ostracize rid of them.
No, absolutely. Not to...
single them out or victimize them to help them.
Put sure.
measures in place to teach trades.
Because these people live among us. And
apprenticeships.
They've got to find something to do. Well... are they even trainable?
Look, if you have a diagnosable like mental deficiency and stuff, it's different than saying we've got a lost generation.
Yeah.
I mean, most people can contribute some kind of...
again, I'm trying to find solutions.
Sure.
I wish the Department of Basic Education would just deal with this uncomfortable reality. It's not something that they can hide their heads in the sand and pretend isn't there. We have people in South Africa who are not useful in the economy. Now, we got to find a way for those people to earn a living.
Contribute.
Or to do some... you know, maybe it's...
have dignity.
Yeah, maybe.
Some kind of financial security.
And you think about people who we tend to be dismissive of in society. Like, you know, a lot of people don't even realize that the security guard at the entrance to a building, for example, is there to do a job. Now, that guy's part of the employed workforce. Yeah. He's in the 20-odd million people in this country who do have jobs.
Yeah, he's quote-unquote lucky.
Yeah, he's not just lucky.
One of the lucky ones.
He's productive. He's got a purpose. He wakes up in the morning and goes to work, and he can feed maybe, you know, he's not earning a fortune, but he can feed himself and his family, and he can eke out an existence.
Yeah.
Now, there are people way, way lower than him on that pyramid. And those are the people that I'm asking
and
about.
And he's probably supporting some of those people, sure, which is then taking away the like very minimal benefits.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but so are you. You're supporting, if you are an income tax paying person in South Africa, you're supporting, at last count, somewhere between 16 and 20 people that you did not make, that you did not,
makes,
that you don't know.
Yeah.
That live in some part of South Africa where you've probably never been.
If I thought my tax money was doing those people real good, I'd be okay with it. I think it's buying Porsches for the people who are supposed to be taking that money and doing real good. I'm okay helping 16 people because I'm lucky enough to be certainly not rich, but, yeah, you know, well, self-sufficient.
We found out the other day, and Sia brought it up yesterday as well, that to be rich, in inverted commas, in South Africa, you only earn anything above 45,000 rand a month. That's gross, not net. You're in the top 1%. So we do not have a successful country. And when these matric results come out, you have to break the numbers down, because if you just take it at face value, it all looks, oh, well, okay, everything's fine.
You were talking now about the car guard being high in the pyramid as opposed to like lowly and wretched, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
But I got an inbox from someone who cucked on me for apparently being what, virtue signaling and being self-righteous 6-odd months ago. When I said,
another day at the office.
When I said whatever, my thing was to no longer judge who deserves the tip. Okay, and I once a week take $200 and put it in change, and sometimes it lasts 5 days, sometimes it lasts 10 days, and I give a 5 rand to every car guard, every beggar, and I don't go, oh, that's a young able-bodied guy, he should be laboring instead of begging, because I realize that that's judgy. But what my point was is that whatever you can afford, whether it's to cash 20 rand into 50 cent pieces or 50 rand into 1 rand coins or 200 rand into, you know, 5 rand coins, whatever's like for you less than a round of drinks you ostensibly might buy your friends, take that and just give it to people who need it, or don't, but I do, to make myself feel better and to help some people. So do what little you can. It's all relative. Like, help in some way. Maybe you don't agree that charity is the way to do it.
We haven't finished with this, because a couple of messages have come in. Let's take a look at these. Casey says, good morning, guys. In education, I work with engineers. Sometimes I wonder how the hell they passed, because they're as dumb as hell and I can't solve basic mathematical problems.
Ooh. Similar in the world of copywriting.
Did you know that our South African National Defense Force has no money and they're basically bankrupt? Perhaps vocational skills conscription, I think, should be compulsory for most 18-year-olds. Yeah, but then we're paying, because you have to pay people to be in the military, we're paying a bunch of people to... I don't see how that's anybody else's responsibility. Like, I really don't. I'm not with Gord on that whole do something good and give away money.
Whatever it is that you can do.
I'm not with you.
Sure. Well, you don't need to be.
I'm not going to be charitable this year, I've decided.
Fair enough.
Really, people, it's a hard world. It's a hard economy. It's a hard place to be doing business. I will. I reserve the right to change my mind.
Yeah.
But I'm starting this year with a basic, not a fuck you attitude, but it's like a.
Yeah.
What are you doing for yourself? I respect your disagreement with me there.
I just want to take a point to the engineer friend's point. I got the same thing with young copywriters. They can't spell or read and write or use apostrophes. Yeah. And then they tell you, oh, old guys are so boring. You don't need that stuff these days. It's like, cool. When you understand a rule of whatever your profession is, then you can break it.
Well,
Then on the other side of the scale in this whole conversation, a Professor Kobus Marie from the Department of Educational Psychology at the University of Pretoria is trying to get a movement going within South Africa to remind people, as the matric results are out, that the word fail should not be used.
Well, what should we use then?
Oh.
Because these people are going to encounter plenty of failure from here on.
insufficient achievement.
That's even worse, because it's two words they can't spell instead of one.
The professor said the word fail had no place in the current society, and so rather we should use a phrase, insufficient achievement. The professor says this is more appropriate.
Can I tell you something? Guys like this, these politically correct assholes in academia, you are precisely the reason we sit with this problem now, or at least you're responsible for a large percentage of it. You shithead.
You haven't failed. You've achieved insufficiently. That's like, we can't call you a loser. You're a non-winner.
He said
it hurts. These people are using euphemisms.
And this is how you end up with words that have some value becoming jargon, bullshit, and an indicator of non-thought. Like,
you know
toxic.
What? You didn't pass matric. You didn't pass matric. You failed. Now, here's Hermine, who's answering our question from earlier. Thank you, Hermine. My stupid sister refused to go back to school after grade 9. The adults stood by and watched. Millennial entitlement at its best. She's now 22. She has no skills, no qualifications. I hope my parents enjoy taking care of her for the rest of their lives.
Jesus Christ. So she had the opportunity and the mental capacity and didn't take it.
Yeah, so there's Hermine.
Even at that young age of 16, that's unlucky.
And that's her sister talking about her, so there's not... she's not being soft.
Yeah. Meanwhile, as well, the Minister Angie Motshekga on Tuesday evening actually said that the department has created a hotline open to matric pupils for anyone who's feeling anxious right now.
Because that's how you're going to solve the education and employment issues.
I want to make a very clear distinction here between people who are feeling suicidal because they suffer from terrible depression or they've got real difficult, there's difficult stuff going on in their lives. If you are one of those people, then get hold of the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. You can find them fairly easily if you have a phone, and you'll be able to talk to qualified people who know way more than me. But I want you to stop listening now if you are one of those people I just described who has a serious depression problem, or you've got awful situations at home that you're trying to deal with, or
genuinely feel like you can't face life and have no hope.
This thing I'm about to say is not for you. Yeah. The rest of you, harden the fuck up, because life is coming at you, and matric is not the hardest thing you're ever going to do.
A bit of stress because you've got some stressful shit coming up, that's called life. You know what I mean? Overwhelming desperation in the face of...
Try employing people and looking at the cash flow for the month and going, how the hell am I going to pay these 20 people who work for me? Try feeding children if you have two or three kids at home, paying the school fees for that month, otherwise they're going to be thrown out of school. Try
putting on a fitted sheet.
Try getting into your car and looking at the petrol gauge and seeing it is empty, but you need to get to work.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like... writing your matric
medical
exams.
Bills. Try paying medical bills.
And having an overdraft, and also like just things like writing matric exams. Even if you have studied and you've been at a good school, it's supposed to be stressful. Like, it's normal. They don't need to set up a hotline for people who don't have access to all the syllabus, rather than a hotline for kids who are like, I'm not feeling very good right now. But again, to Gareth's point, real suicide and depression is a different story. Mm. But putting in measures for people to not be irritated or bothered with life is lame.
Well, here's a story that I have to keep drawing these parallels between the things that we're going through and the things that people think will happen to them. You know Bernie Sanders, who's running for president of the United States. Mm. Now, Bernie has achieved absolutely nothing in his life. He's an absolute loser. I'll explain why in a second. But Bernie's also, just by being in politics, made himself a millionaire. He's a very rich man. He owns a couple of houses. He says he made all his money by selling books, but he's made money out of being a politician, which means the public have paid for him. And this happens in this country too. Listen to what Bernie Sanders, there's a new book that's just come out.
Okay.
Called We Are As Gods. It's by a woman called Kate DeLaz. It's scheduled for release in April of this year. It chronicles the rise and fall of the Myrtle Hill Farm in northeast Vermont. Bernie Sanders, presidential candidate, was asked to leave a hippie commune in 1971 for sitting around and talking instead of working.
Stop.
According to other people interviewed who were in the commune with him. Do you know how lazy you have to be kicked out of a hippie commune? Do you have any idea of what a wastrel
a hippie commune to be excommunicated from the kibbutz
flower
without contributing?
Not even a kibbutz, because you have to work at a kibbutz.
Well, this sounds like a similar thing.
No, a hippie commune it's just about flower power. Let's go
hippies will forgive you anything.
Yes.
In the summer of 1971, Myrtle Hill Farm received a visitor, Bernie Sanders, age 30.
No.
30. He was at 30. He still didn't have a job or a purpose, and he was coming to live on a hippie commune at 30. Just listen to this. Sanders came to the farm while researching an article on natural childbirth for the Liberty Union's party organ movement. Okay. Interest in alternative medicine was strong among members of the counterculture.
Funny that.
As part of their wider suspicion of modern science, which was associated with the sterility of hospitals and the destruction of war.
Funny that.
Many elements of Western medicine came under suspicion during this period. Probably anti-vaxxers.
Don't say.
Yeah. In Sanders' article, he criticized old methods of child rearing, where infants were bottle fed on assembly line schedules designed by assembly line doctors in order to prepare them for the assembly line society. In Sanders' view, natural childbirth was a step towards a more authentic society.
Oh.
You know, I've always kind of found your view on him a little bit one-sided, but now that I know that he was anti-science, pro-woo-woo bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, like, there's a point at which alternative medicine becomes medicine. That's when the scientific community agree it's medicine.
Well,
so alternative is, you know how you said non-achievement?
Yeah.
Alternative is a polite way of saying not really medicine.
When not reporting on the miracle of life, Bernie Sanders spent his time at Myrtle Hill in endless political discussion, according to the author of this book. Sanders' idle chatter did not endear him with the commune's residents, who did the backbreaking labor of running the place.
Wow. Walking the place, let's be realistic.
The Laws writes that one resident, Craig, resented feeling like he had to pull others out of Bernie's orbit if any work was going to be accomplished on that day.
So he was one of these, not only a less than zero contributor to his little economy.
He actually did damage by pulling other productive people out of productivity.
Not just zero, but he's having a minus effect on the overall output of the hippie community, which is now not achieving its KPIs.
Right. New favorite story.
I mean, hippie community's KPIs are very low.
Yeah. Arrive, smoke some weed,
do a sun salutation or two,
and try spread measles.
Sanders was eventually asked to leave. When Bernie had stayed for Myrtle's allotted 3 days, Craig politely requested that he move on.
I mean, look, there is an angle that he was there to research an article and to be interviewing the shit out of the people to the point of them not being able to do their, you know, chanting. There is that. Like, he was there to ask people questions, and clearly he's a lank, talkative oak, which I know from experience can start bothering people.
I want to know if you have got anything to say about childbirth. Everybody come away from the fields, come away from the machines. Come and sit here with me, Bernie Sanders. Tell me about the childbirth you would prefer.
The aloe vera on the bleeding wound.
Yeah. Bernie, I'm a man. I have nothing really to say about natural childbirth.
No, you think you're a man, but you could transition into a woman. I am Bernie Sanders. My pronouns are him and his.
Please tell me he's never actually said that.
Jeremy Corbyn said it.
Yes, he had to start off an interview
like that. Elizabeth Warren says it. Kamala Harris has said it.
Oh, God. Well, I showed you guys.
It's how they introduce themselves now at any demo. And it gets you a round of applause.
Oh, totally.
Warren also says she's part.
I shared
part
my
Indian. Yeah, well,
so I moved from Google Play, which I was very happy with, to Spotify, which has got some other features I wanted. And I screen grabbed you guys the thing where I was signing up.
Mm.
And I was like, I actually don't know if I can go through with this because my choices were gender, male, female, or non-binary. I'm like, totally cool. Say, not applicable, none of your business, other. Mm. But I've got three choices.
Yeah.
Male, female, or non-binary.
Did you agonize?
I went through with it because I really like the podcasting and social aspect of sharing my music. But I just thought, like, just that way of wording, like, it subtly communicates to people that that word is now the thing. Non-binary.
But can I also just ask at this point, because we have a year ahead of us, and I said on Monday we're not going to get into, like, talking about trans things, because 0.004% of the population is trans. Doesn't really affect us.
More people actually jawl to trans than are trans.
Yeah, if someone wants to use X bathroom instead of Y bathroom, great. I don't care. But here's what I'd like to know. Just for clarity's sake, since Gord had to fill in this form, and we all may have to fill in some form this year where there's an option for non-binary, what does it mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's just Spotify trying to have a hip term you know, I have no problem with people identifying with or being non-binary, but to present me as the three options, just call it
what does it mean?
NA, like, none of your business.
If you're a man trapped in a woman's body, how do you even know what it feels like to be a woman? And but how do you know how it feels to be a man if you're a man trapped in a woman's body?
I will consciously make an effort to think and talk about this topic less, because it's
God,
just fuck.
This is
childish.
A little late in the whole process, because back in 2014, like, Facebook had already announced and published their 71 gender options.
Yeah, and the one that's just doesn't matter. Like,
here are a couple of interesting things for you to look forward to in 2020. Are you ready?
Okay.
They've made some predictions. This is from The Economist. Here are things that are highly likely to happen. A 99% chance of the British exiting the EU. The Brexit action.
So 99 is like all certain, but for a miracle.
Yes.
Or disaster.
Correct. 93% chance that oil will end the year below $70 a barrel. Well, this was probably done before the Iranian-US conflict.
There's
escalated.
That 7%.
So there's that 7%. I don't know whether that one still holds, because this was published, 5 days ago. So.
Hey, they said, you know,
that's predicting for the rest of the year.
They were just wrong soon.
So they were wrong soon. 87% chance of Donald Trump completing his first term as the U.S. president. In other words, not being assassinated in office or being removed from office.
Yeah.
Then,
God, I heard a young person in a young person.
Yeah,
talking about an old man.
I heard a young person.
Yeah, but I mean, like, talking about how America voted Donald Trump out to her friend, and like they were discussing it was so Dunning-Kruger, it was unbelievable. Like, to explain to you guys how much you don't know.
So hang on, this dumb person was explaining to an even dumber
to
person
her friend
how
that,
it worked.
Like,
or
but it wasn't like I needed to interfere and have an opinion on what they were talking about. It was the certainty and the excitement with which 20-odd-year-old Melanie was talking to her. Actually, Melanie's who I was having lunch with, and she's lovely. So bad example, but 20-year-old Moronica in the back telling her friend as if you're a fucking astronaut explaining to another astronaut how the new rocket's gonna work.
Okay,
that America voted Donald Trump out. So how the hell is he starting World War III if he's not president anymore because they voted him out?
So.
Impeachment means America voted to get rid of Donald Trump, and now how can he still be starting World War III?
How was the other one responding?
I think the other one who was like the dude and clearly on a date was being fascinated. Whether that was, but anyway, she was. It wasn't that she was. It doesn't faze me people being wrong in the world. It doesn't faze me young people being young. It was the like absolute. You guys are not going to believe this. You know, I just. Did a physics degree, and I'm going to explain to you how planets orbit. It was like...
Well, going on with The Economist's list of things you can look forward to, there is a 78% chance, according to them, that Nicolas Maduro will hold on to the presidency of Venezuela. Lucky for the people of Venezuela. It's going so well for them.
I wonder how they get these metrics, but, I mean, they are experts and credible journalists, so we'll give it to them.
I'll tell you how, because they've outlined it. They've explained themselves.
There's more credibility. You were saying that be sure of at least 70% of the shit you post. That's it. How do you guys know this? Yeah. Answer, here's our research.
Right.
I'm good with it now.
45% of Scotland's parliament is going to vote for an independence referendum, according to the Economist. 46% chance that Donald
Trump...
Break
away from the UK to then be part of the EU, rather.
Well, for Scotland to be completely independent of the UK.
Yeah, and likely have the option to join the EU.
It'll be the DK, because it'll be the Disunited Kingdom after that.
The DK means something totally different to me. I've been letting those borders down years ago. O's are welcome to enter. Well, not O's so much, but people are welcome to apply to enter the
UK. I don't know what.
Here's some others. 39% chance that Billie Eilish will win Album of the Year at the Grammys.
Has she released said album yet?
Yeah, it would have been last year already. Because
the entries
have closed. Yeah. 49% chance that Christian Coleman will win the men's 100 meters at the Olympics.
Never heard of him, but I don't really follow athletics, so fair enough.
A 46% chance that Donald Trump will be re-elected U.S. president.
So that's a half and half, so it's a coin flip still.
And 38% chance that Joe Biden will win the U.S. Democratic presidential nomination.
Pardon, what's the percentage?
38.
So he's got less than half a chance, but probably still the highest chance out of anyone else's chance.
No, no, different things. 46% chance Trump will be re-elected as president of the United States. 38% Joe Biden wins the U.S. presidential nomination in the Democratic Party.
Okay, yeah.
Not against
this is,
Trump.
This is where I shush because I just don't know.
He has a 30% chance that Britain will get a new monarch. In other words, that the Queen will die.
Ooh.
Oh.
I mean, that's obviously just statistically people of a certain income level and a certain health level at a certain age tend to die at that rate.
Right. 31% chance that Greta Thunberg... By the way, I heard her pronounce her own name the other day, and I think it's only fair that we try to say her name the way she wants it said. It's Greta Thunberg.
Greta.
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 Thunberg.
You have to have a little note, a little raise.
Got to make it Scandinavian.
Got to be a little bit Swedish. Put a little extra note in the vowel.
She says, so you know people use this as a way of...
I actually really like the Scandinavian accent.
I like
if anyone's getting outraged, it's fun to do. It's a cool accent. It's just
do it in the spare
but
time.
But it is cool.
If you go to the shops and you're going to buy some vegetables and the fruit.
Organic vegetables, again, with a zero carbon footprint. This is
footprint. That's
footprint.
Greta.
Greta.
Greta Thunberg.
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 She, there's a 31% chance, according to The Economist, that she will win the Nobel Peace Prize. Which is ridiculous because she's absolutely done nothing. Done nothing. She's
done. I don't hate her as much as you.
No. I don't hate her.
Hate's a strong word.
What's she
I don't.
Done? She has not saved one fucking tree. There's no tree that she... You cannot point to a piece of the atmosphere that she's made less polluted.
I think she's trying to do good, and that's okay with
awareness.
Me.
It's the same
I'm getting condemned. Hand signals of condemnation that
well,
listeners can't...
Yeah, in the studio.
Let me just explain.
I don't those mind Greta.
Those, you don't demand the Greta.
I don't mind Greta.
Those hand signals of displeasure are coming from Bulelo.
The Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you shitting me? Do you know a guy called Nelson Mandela, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King? Those
Desmond
guys.
Tutu. Those
Desmond Tutu. Are you shitting me? I mean, she can't even do Pythagoras' theorem.
I'm not saying I would give her the Nobel Peace Prize. I'm saying I'm not as like screw Greta as everyone else might be.
It's not about that. It's like
I'm happy she's trying to do something.
But let's not take the piss. Like we're not going to say 16-year-olds that are dating are married. Like
yeah, I'm not saying I'm not necessarily saying I'm all for giving her the Nobel Peace Prize. I'm just saying I quite like her in general.
So the Nobel Peace Prize is a piss take then. From now on, if she gets it, it's a piss take.
Fair enough. Maybe she doesn't deserve the Nobel Peace Prize, but I just think
she really does more good than harm. He converted you immediately.
Yeah.
That didn't take long.
I wasn't arguing for her getting the Peace Prize. I was arguing for Gareth always being so negative about it. Like, she's not that bad. She's not Satan, for God's sake. She doesn't make fucking R&B.
No,
leave her alone.
Nobody's saying she's bad. She just didn't win the Nobel Peace Prize.
Agreed.
How dare
maybe
you?
Not.
How dare
Sorry, Greta. Sorry, Greta.
Sorry, Greta. All right, and then in other news, they say the 28% chance that house prices will fall across rich English-speaking countries. That's interesting.
It's good if you want to buy in a rich English-speaking
country. Well, no, it's only 28%, so that, in other words, property will become more expensive.
It's 72% likely that the opposite will happen.
20% chance that the United States will fall into recession. That's very good news for them.
80% chance that they're good.
Yeah. 11% chance that S&P 500 stock index ends the year at least 10% down. So in other words...
90% chance it'll be zero
up.
Or better.
Mm. And 9% the chance that Sweden wins the Eurovision Song Contest.
Funny that. They take it very seriously there in Sweden, who are the world champions of pop music.
All right, so there's some useful info for you.
They do take that Eurovision song shit seriously. Like, that is like...
It's my time to just avoid the internet whenever...
You make a career out of, like... It's a bizarre sort of carnival of weirdness and, I don't know, everything weird about pop music.
And what a full circle moment, because Greta's mother...
She was in the Euro.
She was.
Joking.
Yes.
Is Greta's mother Agneta Feltskog from ABBA?
Greta, even Greta.
Is it? Is that who it is?
I hope her name is Eve in Greta.
No.
Hi, I'm Eve in Greta, and this is my daughter Greta.
Her name is Malina Ernman, and she represented Sweden back in 2009.
Oh, shit. I thought it was her. I thought it was Agneta from ABBA. That would be a story. Then I'd take her a little more seriously. Everybody, let's
everyone
go.
Take
so bad.
Eurovision contest.
Like this chord, huh?
It's impossible not to like ABBA. Corey Taylor from Slipknot, name drop in the interview that I was super stoked to do with him, said, like, challenge anyone to anyone who wants to have metal credentials.
Yeah.
Tell me, listen to ABBA and tell me you fucking don't like it. Look,
really?
Look me in my eyes.
Wow.
Like, if Corey, Lord of all metal, fucking digs ABBA, then so can you. Fuck the rest of the show, let's just jolt to ABBA. Notice how this was meant to be a snippet, but I'm just going to see it through.
Very nice.
Oh, wait just a moment.
What? Breaking, breaking.
No, it's interesting to do more digging on Greta.
Oh,
so Mother's
this is breaking news. Hang on, let me give you the song.
Oh, thank you.
And in breaking news today, Sia Sangweni.
Thank you. Over at the breaking news desk. Well, Mother is an opera singer. Well, she is very popular in the opera circles, amongst other things. That's how she actually made it to Eurovision. Okay. And then the father is an actor. So you would think, like, mother's a singer, father's an actor, would have more of a lively kid. Mm. But, sorry.
That was breaking news.
Sorry, it was interesting to me. Okay.
Back to regular programming.
Wow. So the mother's an opera singer. That's
dad's
interesting.
Dad's an actor.
Okay, yeah. The mother's well has been very politically active in support of climate change for years.
Well, she actors was, and musicians are, of course, the leading opinions in politics.
Yeah.
She was in support of the Paris Agreement a couple of years ago, and then the husband... Together, they wrote a book called Scenes from the Heart about their family, about their family, the environmental crisis, and sustainability.
Just play that again.
You like that?
I've missed your soundbite, dude. Like, Gary's got a soundbite on hand for fucking anything. It's so funny.
But fuck you!
I bet you've got 150 different fuck yous in the folder on that computer.
150 is too little.
There's a few.
It's double figures at least.
Well, I'm not going to play them all now. Put me in a position where
it's glorious.
Too much
you're
pressure.
You're being inappropriate.
Now you've made someone have to show you their talent, which
you're
diminishes
being, you're
them.
You're being inappropriate.
Diminished.
All right,
okay,
what else?
And by the way, Melina's really good looking. Well, not really good looking, but she's
well, she's
good
a
looking.
Swedish human. So unless she was in an accident, that's default.
Do you know that Melina
is a character in Mortal Kombat who'll eat your face?
Oh. Is the medical term for a bloody stool?
Holy shit!
Oh no, guys!
There's,
no,
clever, shit. There's clever Easter eggs all over Mortal Kombat, shit. And I'm willing to be convinced. I'm willing to take a leap of faith that that's not an accident.
Okay,
the evil princess who's really like a mutant with fangs that eats your face. So that's probably on purpose they called her Melina.
No, I could be mispronouncing it. It could be Melena.
Look,
I'm
Swedish
trying to
people,
give her the benefit of the doubt.
Everything
Please
is
no.
everything is obviously subjective with tastes, but Swedish people are just, to me, generally pretty good, goddamn good looking.
Mm-hmm.
So, not surprising she's a bit of a belter.
She's 49 years old.
Oh, you're knowing me, knowing you.
You want to know.
Yeah. getting thumbs up at the back over there. As are clapping the Google. Just how exactly for people to Google it on their own?
You boys
Melena,
are so disgusting.
Not Thunberg. She got a different surname.
Erman. So,
oh, my God, no!
Melena Erman.
Surname E-R-N-M-A-N. Oh, she's...
Yeah, she's... Hashtag wood.
W-O-U-L-D. Don't say that. And then just this past year, she was awarded the WWF Sweden Environmental Family of the Year.
I didn't know
award.
Wrestling took
she got the,
the environment that seriously. Vince McMahon. And this year, we want to big up the fuck out of Melina Herman, for pinning down the environment for the 1-2-3.
Fuck you.
The WWF Environment Award.
All right. Apparently, according to yes, Sean, he says, ABBA were the best and I'm a Slayer disciple.
Yeah, bro. Fucking, and you brave. Hashtag brave to speak out to your hashtag truth on that one.
Daniel, what is this? Danilo says, well done, you guys, for talking the most shit. I'm lolling in the office.
Okay, that's just Sia is still showing pictures, and the belt level is actually very high.
Mm-hmm. Belt level.
Yeah, like, let's...
Oh, you like this too, huh?
So, Gareth, I was in Sweden in July.
Nice. Minding your own business.
As one does.
Well, hello there.
I didn't go camping, but let's just say I had a constant tent pitched.
Ew!
Yeah. And, ew. I mean, there's a market for black... In those Teutonic places, there's a market for black folk. I mean, you can't not get laid. In Germany or Sweden or anywhere there. Like,
give me more. Come on.
So. The same way a lot of black dudes don't mind a white girlfriend, a lot of Germans, Swedes, Norwegians, they're all about a black dude. So you should just go there and bone.
They don't just not mind. They like.
Yeah, exactly.
Actively
you
like
should go there and just bone.
So... Boys.
And there's something for everyone. The women, the men, the non-binaries, you just go there and bone. If you're like a white oak and you go there, you're at a disadvantage because all the other white people are way better looking than you are.
That's true.
Black oak, they've never seen one before and they're keen to try.
That's true.
You're like an hors d'oeuvre that like no one's ever tried before and they just can't help. Even if it's crap, they still want to try it.
Hey, do you want to know, I'm sure you loved Ricky Gervais.
Oh, so much.
Golden Globes, just because it was...
I couldn't have loved it more.
There are a lot of publications like The Independent and The Guardian that are trying to make nothing out of him. They're saying absolutely nothing about his hosting and his very controversial breakthrough speech at the beginning. His opening monologue was absolutely outstanding. There are some publications, all of them on the left, that are trying to say, oh... We've been here before. Ricky doesn't have any impact. He's a tired, old, not that interesting and not that funny comic. That's what they're saying.
No.
It's bizarre to me that they can deny the reality like this. But here's a story that you might be interested in. There's a clip of Ricky actually talking back in November of last year to Graham Norton about how he keeps out of trouble when he is preparing to host a show like this. Listen to this quickly. This guy's no fool, all right?
And you say, you know, that you don't break the law. But, and you've told me this before, but someone must read the script before you go on.
I do it. I say, I'm going to say what I want. I don't have to rehearse. And they say, that's fine. But I do have to tell a lawyer it just before I go on.
Yeah. Okay, and does the lawyer make you change anything, or...?
No, because I know the law.
And it's straight face, that wasn't a joke.
I know what I can get away with. I know what I can say. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, look, it goes right to the line of libel.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I don't libel anyone.
Dips right below.
And I've never had a complaint upheld. I've never had a complaint upheld.
Wow.
See? I know what I'm doing.
I have to say, that's really impressive.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
People say, why'd you go to so much trouble to offend people? And I say, it's no trouble.
That's brilliant, huh? Smart
yeah,
guy.
So the ratings are in for the Golden Globes that he hosted.
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Okay, go
Should
ahead.
We all play a game of guess? Are they up or are they down?
Yeah, it depends who's most motivated to press the thumbs up or thumbs down button.
They are up, I'm going to say.
Well, my hint would have been a little too indicative of the answer. Or rather, they stayed a little the same. But a lot of analysts and people who are in the know here are saying, well, that's actually a good thing that they didn't really move much, given that so many people aren't really watching a lot of TV and specifically traditional
And award shows are just such a left-handed way.
It was 3 hours long. I thought I was going to try to get into it yesterday afternoon, and as soon as I pressed play, I was like, 3 hours?
It's one of
like,
those things where if you want to know who won the awards, you can just the next day check who the winners were. But what I love is that Ricky Gervais made it pretty clear that it was his final, it was going to be his last one, it was his fifth one. He knew he wasn't coming back, so he took the opportunity to like, what are you going to do to me? I love that. I don't care.
That's kind of his running joke. He always says that when he hosts something.
Okay, then I didn't know that, but I just thought it was cool. This like I got one last chance to say what I really think. And I admire taking that opportunity.
But I don't think these TV ratings even hold a candle to
We were talking earlier about toxic fandom and the Star Wars thing, and not to get back into the actual movies themselves, but there's a thing where if you didn't like it, you make the effort to go on IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes and give it 1 out of 10, because it's not what the story you wanted. But to say that that movie was as bad as The Room, or literally had zero value as a film, no actor in it, should have got paid, it was so bad. The special effects were terrible. It was unwatchable, and it was 1 out of 10. Like, go give it a 4. Go give it a 6 and say, fucking disappointing. I was really hoping for a 9.
Who's even moved enough to go to IMDb?
You didn't like it. You didn't think the story should have gone in that direction. You didn't like Fat Luke drinking green milk. 1 out of 10 for the whole series. So that you can harm the rating. Because the people who liked it, like me, I'm going to go give it, okay, first one an 8, second one a 5, third one a 9, overall a 7. Like, cool. 7 out of 10 for the trilogy. No, if you loved it, 10. If you hated it, 1. And we're supposed to, like, then use IMDb to get a real idea of what people thought of it.
Let me give everybody a context here. So Gord had this huge fight. This almighty
I got shat on from a dizzy height more than had a fight.
During December, I follow his Facebook. It's one of the few that I still
appreciate that.
Follow, because most people just put endless, remorseless shit on there.
Thanks for the 975 friend requests from strangers to today, GC, but I appreciate that. Please continue.
So, Gord was in this fight about Star Wars because he actually liked the new Star Wars movie.
He really did. Really did. And I was like, not only told I was wrong, but reprimanded for being wrong. And it was like a court case proven to me why I should change my mind.
You are not allowed.
Proof that your opinion is wrong.
You are not allowed to like the new Star Wars.
And it was, people were very fucking mean to me about it. Like, it wasn't just like, dude, you're wrong and you're an idiot. So, how the fuck can you like that piece of shit? It was like, you are a fucking idiot. You can't say that this and this. And then it's like, you just said that you liked the one prequel, but that's the opposite of the other one you like. So what are you saying, hypocrite?
Oh, calm down.
Like, fuck, bro. I really enjoyed it. Like, you can disagree with me all you want. It's like that dick face that messaged earlier, like, oh, screw you guys and all your opinions and your self-righteousness. It's like, I can say what I think and you can disagree. We don't have to listen to each other. Like, it's okay that I didn't agree with you on Star Wars. Do you really want to kill me? Do you really want to hurt me? Because of The Last Jedi? Fuck, get a real problem. G-A-R-P, GARP. Get a real problem.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Alright.
Glasses.
It was just that people cared about this more than they care about, like, real things. It's a wizard fairy tale in space.
They do. They care more about this than they care about real things.
It's a wizard fairy tale in space.
I'm telling you, there are people who are going about their business today thinking about the Star Wars movie rather than work.
My team that I've supported my whole life and is a big deal for me got thrashed by our big rivals last night, and I'm sad about it, and I'm willing to take all the banter shit for it.
Yeah,
that really that matters to me, and I'm okay. Yeah, that matters to me, and I'm okay with getting some shit about it. Like, fucking Star Wars, mate. Don't go watch it if it's that fucking important.
I envy your life then, if you're going about your day to day and Star Wars is the most important thing to you. I really do.
But the most important thing to you, and you're angry about it.
That, what a beautiful life, if that is your biggest
concern. Get a real problem. All right. Well, it's been fun, Gord. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. So Gord excited. I'm so glad to be back, dudes. And thanks for having me. I've missed everybody. And for the people who messaged and missed me, I love you.
You took such a long time off. We thought that you were actually Luke Skywalker when you came.
Well, I drank the green milk and sat on an island getting fat. It's exactly what I did.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. CliffCentral.com.